Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Holiday season, find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single-barrel bourbon, Cabernet, Chardonnay. The perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at Progressive.com. Alan Poupard joins us from Sports Illustrated. Talk Miami Dolphins at 7-3. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm great. All right, let's talk Tua Tagovailoa. Another great game. I'm going to ask this a little tongue-in-cheek, Alan. Are there any doubters left on this guy?
Well, the doubters for his what, that he can play at a high level?
Yeah, like all the doubters that said, oh, can he be the starting quarterback? Do they exist anymore? Is this guy proven that he is now the guy in Miami? Like, is there anybody else still holding the flag that, I don't know, I got to see more?
No, and I don't think there was, to be honest with you, I don't think there was any, it's been a couple of weeks now. The thing with the Dolphins is what they're going to have to do is at one point they're going to have to decide, okay, when do we start thinking about a long-term contract extension, which likely will involve a lot of guaranteed money, and this is where maybe the questions surface. But no, the dude's obviously playing outstanding. The Dolphins did an absolutely great job in the offseason of putting together pieces around him to maximize what he does best, and basically, like, he's back at Alabama now.
Yeah, in terms of that, in terms of where you've seen the growth, in terms of where you've seen him get better as the season goes along, where has that come from? Where have you seen a noticeable difference from the way he's playing now, where this team is 7-3, to where he was when there were people wondering if he was going to be the franchise quarterback?
Well, here's the thing with Tua, though, and this is, I mean, there's so much talked and said about him, and I think that there's some things that are blown out of proportion. There are things that are there's never any nuance with him. Physically, he's not doing a ton that he didn't do last year. Okay, what he's got is, number one, above and beyond anything else, what he has right now that maybe he didn't have last year when, as you said, there were doubters, is he's playing with a tremendous amount of confidence. He is making quick decisions, and some of that, again, it's to me, it's as much about what the Dolphins did for him as it is about his growth. There was never any question, I think, for me that he could succeed if everything around him was ideal, which it is this year, starting with a head coach who from day one told him, you're my guy, our offense is going to kick some butt, you're going to be the one running it, and then the team went about, got like a crazy amount of speed around him, and they hired a head coach who, as it turned out, was known to be a creative genius, quote-unquote, for the running game from his days in San Francisco. Well, guess what? He is a creative genius offense, period. Because until last Sunday, let me just finish real quickly. Until last Sunday, what the Dolphins were doing was pretty much strictly passing game, and now we saw last Sunday, well, the running game can be highly effective as well.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that from the running game, from the standpoint of Jeff Wilson coming in. How has he jumped right in and being effective under the Miami system?
Well, the Miami system is very much like the San Francisco system, so it's completely seamless as far as the transition was concerned, to the point where he played the same number of snaps as Raheem Mostert the first, like, 3 days after he got to Miami. And then on Sunday, since he was running so well from the start, he wound up like with double the number of snaps, clearly as the number one guy for this particular day. And they got him, I don't want to say as out of necessity, but almost as like as an offshoot after trading for Bradley Chubb, because the Broncos insisted on Chase Edmonds being thrown into the deal. Well, Edmonds, who had been signed as a free agent from Arizona in the offseason, wasn't playing particularly well, didn't seem like a great fit in that scheme. And then swinging the trade for Wilson, who became expendable for the 49ers and actually asked for a trade because he saw his playing time, you know, reduced with the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey. That swap of Chase Edmonds for Jeff Wilson in those two trades, I mean, it's a major, major boost for the Dolphin offense.
How big was the offensive line, especially in that game against Cleveland? They've got some good pass rushers. How good was the offensive line on Sunday?
Yeah, the offensive line has been great, and it's the thing. Oh, and I get in trouble down here sometimes. It's like I know all the focus is on Tua. He's putting up the monster numbers. He's going to get MVP votes. Hell, he might even be in the top three. But the suggestion to me that it's all Tua and all that, I'm not buying it. It's a combination of, again, the play design scheme genius of Mike McDaniel, the absolute cheat code they have at wide receiver with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, where you see DBs and defenses playing very, very soft coverage a lot of the time because they're scared out of their pants of Hill's speed and him getting behind them. And then you have the offensive line, which got a massive boost in the offseason when they signed Teron Armstead, and whose only issue whatsoever is that he's had injuries in his career, especially in recent years. But when he's healthy, he's easily a top five, if not top three, left tackle in the NFL. And when the guy's in the lineup, it makes a huge difference. And then Tua is also doing his part in terms of the pass protection because he is making very quick decisions. He's seeing the field very well, so he's doing that part there also. But the offensive line, which was to say was criticized the last couple of years, would be putting in mind, it was more like bashed beyond belief. Mm-hmm. While this year you don't hear a peep about it because they're playing great. And the way fans are is that they're a lot quicker to criticize than to praise when things go well. And the offensive line has been great. It was absolutely brilliant against Cleveland on Sunday.
Is this an offense? Is this a fast offense? Not from speed on the field, but just in tempo? Are they a fast tempoed offense?
Sometimes. I mean, they kind of vary that. They don't necessarily. I don't recall. I mean, I'm like, I should know this off the top of my head. I don't recall them doing a ton of no huddle. They do at times. I have noticed a couple of times, but that's not necessarily the thing. Is what they do though. The play scheme and the designs and everything, you got receivers running wide open all over the place. And if the running game is going to start producing the way it did against Cleveland on Sunday, look out.
Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. What has been working? How does Bradley Chubb fit in there? And how that's working on that side of the ball?
The defense has been up and down. And it's taken a lot more criticism than it should have. Because if we're going to be honest about it, I look at the defense having won the opener against New England. They went 20-7 and scored a defensive touchdown. The week three win against Buffalo, even though they gave up a ton of yards, they held Buffalo off the scoreboard for most of the game. And then the Sunday night game against Pittsburgh, the Dolphins had three picks and a 16-10 win. So they won games. They also have given up yards. So it's been kind of up and down. Injuries have been an issue. It's interesting because the Dolphins have had, let's say, a half dozen serious injuries, and it's like seems like practically every one of those has been on defense. They've already lost cornerback Nick Needham for the season, safety Brandon Jones for the season. Now they've lost Emmanuel Ogba for the season. Byron Jones hasn't played all year after having off-season surgery. So to expect the defense to perform at the same level it did the past 2 years, maybe a little unrealistic, but it definitely has had its moments. Bradley Chubb, the idea is that he helps the pass rush a lot better in his second game against Cleveland than he was in his first game against the Bears the previous Sunday.
Alan, how would you describe what has been happening in Miami over the last couple of years? Their ability to sign players long-term, to go after trades, to make big deals. It wasn't just Tyreek Hill. The Bradley Chubb deal is a big deal. For them to go get a new head coach, make it all work. It feels like this Dolphins team, despite the success of Kansas City and Buffalo, they are all in. How would you describe what's been going on there in the last 2 years or so?
Been a process where they completely rebuilt. They almost like started from scratch in 2019, if you want to call it either rebuilding, resetting, or the quote-unquote tank for Tua season. And the whole thing at the time, as enunciated by GM Chris Greer and even the owner Stephen Ross at the time, was that they were tired of being an 8-8, 9-7, 7-19 for so many years, where once in a while they make the playoffs, but there was never anything sustainable. So decided we're going to start from scratch and then hopefully build a contender that's going to be good year after year. And it's been a slow progression. And then this offseason, with the hiring of Mike McDaniel after the flirtation with Sean Payton, and then they went all out in free agency out of like a lot of speed with Raheem Mostert. They got the big time tackle with Teron Armstead. Then all of a sudden, you have the possibility of, you know, making a trade for Tyreek Hill, which changed everything and pushed everything into overdrive. And the season starts, and they're looking at a team that's got real possibilities here. And then you get the opportunity to add a pass rusher, which was one area of the defense that really wasn't working all that great, because it needs to be pointed out that the past 2 years where the Dolphins got their pass rush was a lot of it through their blitz, because they have the two quality corners in Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, where they can leave those guys on an island and send a lot of people at the quarterback. Well, without Byron Jones, they don't have that luxury anymore, so they rely a lot more on the front four to generate a pass rush, and that didn't happen, which that justified the idea of going for Bradley Chubb and going all out. You know, and they're thinking big, and they don't have any reason not to.
Absolutely, without question, one of the more fun teams. One of the I can make the argument they're the best team in the AFC if you'd like. Alan Popar, Sports Illustrated, great stuff, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you got it anytime, Tony.
You got it, brother. Appreciate it. I mean, he was 100% right. I mean, what do we talk about a lot about this league, right? 8-8 back in the day, remember? You know, 9-7, 8-8, 7-9. It's terrible. It's a terrible record to be. You're not good enough to make the playoffs. You're not good enough to reset everything and get that top five pick that may change your franchise. It's a terrible place to be when you're hovering in that spot. He's right. This no reason why they shouldn't have gone all in. Just go all in. Don't be worried about what Kansas City's been building. Go after their best player if you can. Talk to them about, you know, we're hearing this about Tyreek Hill. We're hearing this about Bradley Chubb. Let's go get a new coach and get a new dynamic offense in here. Let's build this team around some speed. Let's sign some guys to long-term deals. That's what's been going on there. And here's the other thing. They're going on a bye week. And look, I'm not going to just throw out, you know, hey, listen, you know, any, that's why they call it Any Given Sunday. So I'm not going to blow off, but they've got a game against Houston at home. All right. And that's going to be in week 12. So they got the bye week this week. And then on November 27th, the Thanksgiving weekend, they're going to play Houston. Then starting in the beginning of December, this is where it's going to be key for them. They are on the road at San Francisco. On the road the next week in Los Angeles. Don't be surprised if they stay out in California and work out that week to go from San Francisco to SoFi Stadium, and then on the road to Buffalo for a divisional clash with the Bills trying to look for that season sweep. That's three straight road games against three teams that are going to be buzzing around the playoff time. And that's a big, big, big thing. And then they go to New England, a cold weather game on January 1st, on New Year's Day. So they've got some good games coming up on this schedule. Good games. Now, they just ran through four teams. None of them have winning records, but still, where you see this in their schedule, it's really fascinating. If you haven't been following, and you probably heard it through about their schedule, start 3-0, have the problem with Tua against Cincinnati. They lose that game. They lose to the Jets in Minnesota, but there you have no Tua, right? No Tua's in that. No Tua. And then he comes back. They win that Sunday night game against Pittsburgh. They've won four straight. So 7-3, but 7-0 when Tua Tagovailoa starts is the quarterback of record for that particular game. All right, we'll have top five and bottom five when we come back. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.